Hi, this is Elmore Leonard. I'm listening to Film Sociology, and it's a real program. It's great.
It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplex and the art house. What's new on video and streaming, and you might also hear about some dead people we like.
We don't have time for dead people we don't like.
Anyway, this is Film Sociology, where you'll find out what's the next cinematic marvel.
It was unbelievable!
And what's just a movie.
Shut up! My God, you have no freaking life!
Okay, here's your host and my dad, Matthew Soci.
Hello there, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Soci. The show is available on iTunes and, like all of the podcasts here at WFYI, available on Spotify. Well, friends, we got through another week. Hope you're staying safe. Hope you're staying healthy. Hope you're staying sane. Hope you're being good to one another. Hopefully you got your shots or shots, depending on which one you go for. And hopefully you got to watch some movies that are new or at least new to you, as well as falling back on old favorites. And we will get to the grab a pencil portion of the show in a little bit. Just you and me today. It's going to be a fairly short show by comparison. And sometimes, friends, this is what happens when a screener is supposed to be sent to you. And it doesn't happen. So nothing new to talk about, but I do have a clarification. I should have done this. I dropped the ball on this last week. We're going to shake up the format a little bit and open with dead people we like because we never have time for dead people we don't like. And I forgot to mention actor and director James Hampton, who passed away last week. Going through his all the way back to, the early 1960s, the first big thing he was known for was the Bugleist Dobbs and F Troop, and then appeared in films like Soldier Blue. First thing I saw him in, Justin Morgan Had a Horse. First thing I really noticed him in, he was kind of one of Burt Reynolds' semi-players. He played caretaker in the original Longest Yard, was junior in the WW and the Dixie Dance Kings. And that film's not on home video yet. That film's not on DVD or Blu-ray yet. Somebody needs to do something about that. He also had a small role as the bus driver in the Burt Reynolds film Hustle. Also appeared in films like Macintosh and TJ, The Cat from Outer Space, and in all that. And then to change tone by playing one of the bad guys, or one of the bad people, in The China Syndrome from 1979, Condor Man, Hangar 18. Fans of films from the 80s know him as the dad in Teen Wolf. Yes, as well as Police Academy 5, Pump Up the Volume. And the last thing I really saw him in was in 1996, where he played Jerry in Sling Blade. And he only had one starring role. If you remember the 1976 comedy Humps, where he is a cavalry member who, instead of horses, they get camels. It's as simple as that. It was the 70s. Slim Pickens and Jack Elam was also in that picture. And Hampton also wound up directing and writing mostly for television. Worked with Burt Reynolds quite a bit. Wrote and directed several episodes of Evening Shade. Also directed episodes of shows like Grace Under Fire, Boston Common, Hearts of Fire, Sister Sister, and yes, the Tony Danza Show. So thank you, James Hampton. And at the time of this recording, I just found out about actress Helen McCrory, who was only 52, if I remember right, was one of those ladies, stage, screen, television, did not matter. One of her earliest performances on film was in 1994's Interview with a Vampire. Also appeared in films like The Queen, Casanova, Enduring Love, Charlotte Gray, Count of Monte Cristo. Best known, I think, in the movie land as Narcissa Malfoy in Harry Potter, in Half-Blood Prince and Deathly Hallows, was in Skyfall, Hugo, the voice of Mrs. Bean in Fantastic Mr. Fox. Most recently, cinematic for me, 2016's Their Finest. And then, again, television, a slew of series, including Quiz, Roadkill, His Dark Materials, Mother, Father, Son, and Fearless, among others. And one of the films I got to watch this week, and sometimes it just takes a death of somebody in the movie world to me to revisit some films, but writer-director Richard Rush passed away. He was 91, died on April 8th. Cult filmmaker, if there was one, writing and directing Too Soon to Love from 1960, Of Love and Desire from 1963, then directed Hell's Angels on Wheels from 1967, Thunder Alley also from 67, also from 67, The Cups of San Sebastian, didn't dawdle. 1968, A Man Called Dagger, 1968, Psych Out, and 1968, The Savage Seven. Again, not dawdling. Did a film with Elliot Gould and Candace Bergen called Getting Straight in 1970. Moved up the ranks with one of the early buddy cop films from the 1970s, 1974's Freebie and the Bean with James Caan and Alan Arkin. But the thing he's best known for, and he received two Academy Award nominations, one for screenplay adaptation and one for directing, 1980's The Stuntman. Steve Railsback in post-Charlie Manson mode from Helter Skelter, a guy on the run from the law who winds up taking shelter in a movie set. And the director, played by Peter O'Toole, wonderfully chewed by Peter O'Toole, playing Eli Cross, gets his new friend to work as a stuntman, and the film blurs the line between fantasy and reality, and does the man on the run think his director's trying to kill him or not? Barbara Hershey's also involved. You also have Alex Rocco, Alan Garfield, and it's a fun film to watch. I got to revisit it this week. I remember seeing this film in the theater with my dad. I don't think my mom would have gone for this. But the blurring of lines between fantasy and reality and the movies and real life, of course, simply fairly nice flowing as far as direction and editing, I should say, in that part. And you get an over-the-top performance from Peter O'Toole, which I always enjoy. That was 1980. He wouldn't do another film until 1994's Color of Night, which is god-awful Get Drunk Bad with Bruce Willis, Jane March, and many, many others. And Laura Jansen, I think of you when we think of the film Color of Night. But no, go if you get a chance, and I don't know if The Stuntman is on streaming services. I have a two-disc set from Anchor Bay, and I'm damn glad to have it, so at least I have it in my possession. But yeah, salute to Richard Rush. And yeah, as far as also doing the late 60s kind of B-movie exploitation stuff, Thunder Alley, which was, I believe, Frankie and Annette, but instead of the beach, it was at the racetracks. Psych Out, of course, was the kind of counterculture films of the late 60s, among others. So salute to Richard Rush. Okay, going back to and catching up on, trying to catch up on some films that have been sent to me this in the last few weeks. From Film Movement, a heartbreaking drama called My Little Sister, the story of two siblings played by Nina Hoss and Lars Edinger. She's a playwright who has stopped writing to care for her twin brother, who is a former famous stage actor with an aggressive case of leukemia. Sister wants brother back in a production of Hamlet in Berlin, even though the producers think it'll kill him. And he doesn't like living with mom, so sister takes him in. And then there's some secrets about the woman's husband and some work. It's basically how far you will go to help your loved ones, and whether to the detriment of your own household or even yourself. And really lovely performances from Edinger and Hoss. Pint of ice cream after watching that one, I assure you. From Iran, from 2009, Women Without Women. This is based on a 1950s controversial novel. It's set in Iran during the upheaval in 1953. We have four females from four different backgrounds, and women trying to get their desires and their rights met. And by the way, this is a film. It's 2009, still banned in Iran. Women wanting a new way, women wanting a release. You have a woman whose husband has told her he's entitled to many wives. You have a woman who is a slave to her brother. You have a woman with physical and emotional issues, and then you have a prostitute, all trying to get their own sense of identity. And pretty powerful stuff from IndiePix, Women Without Women. Probably my favorite of the lot is a really sweet documentary called Far Western about the American country music scene in post-World War II Japan. We go into a country western bar, open 7 nights a week in Japan. A guy who is one of the more famous country music artists from Japan. His wife is a server. Son is a bartender. He's had his own band since 1961 with 78 personnel changes. Has toured Thailand, Taiwan, the Philippines, and trying to get his love of music and spreading it not just around Japan. But it shows the blues. Yokohama is where this, there's a festival that goes on, a country bluegrass festival outside of Tokyo. And Charlie is his name, who every year gets a chance to sing at the Grand Ole Opry. And it talks about the universal communication of music. And I know it sounds like a punchline, but a really passionate guy who loves the music and knows the history from which it comes from. So if you get a chance, look for the documentary Far Western. Getting closer and closer to finishing the Federico Fellini box set from Criterion. Got to the last feature film from the lot, 1987's Intervesta. It's about a Japanese television crew who visits Fellini on the set of his latest film, of course, shot on location at the studio in Shinkenta. The big Roman movie studio where he did all of his films. And there are times this film feels like Fellini's greatest hits. You have moments that involve scaffold and smoke, which looks very similar to 8 1/2. You get a morning parade on the movie lot, which feels like Juliet of the Spirits. There's cameos by Marcello Mastroianni and Anita Ekberg. So, yeah, you get a little bit of La Dolce Vita. And at this time this film was released, I believe it was filmed in 84, but not released until 87. And interesting that this is what I watched after The Stuntman, trying to blur the line between documentary and what's actually happening. And to a certain, it doesn't work as well as, say, Spinal Tap, which fooled some people. In this case, Fellini's always gone with, or in his early stages of his career, with neorealism and then the garish and the beautiful. And I think he tries to go back with a little bit, of fooling folks on what is real and what is not. And it doesn't quite exactly work. And I think one of those with Fellini, we expect a home run every time. And this one just didn't quite do it. So, and this was his final film. There's one more disc in the collection. It's a documentary about Marcello Mastroianni. So between this and the special features, I should be done with Fellini for now. For now. Now, as I mentioned the last couple weeks, Time Life Home Video has now available for you, for your enjoyment, and something to binge, I assure you, the complete series of Laugh-In. And so I just finished the first season a couple nights ago, and I decided, yes, it's a television show. I remember watching this in New Jersey when I would go visit my grandmother in the summer, and I thought it was very funny then. But it's a great period piece as far as the humor. There's a lot of political humor and society humor that you probably couldn't get away with today. And it's fast. I mean, there are no sketches like the Carol Burnett show. And if there is, there's a two-person scene, and it's probably 2 minutes at the most. So a lot of rapid-fire jokes and setup and punchlines. And, of course, a lot of familiar faces, many of which early in their career, like Goldie Hawn. I didn't know Eileen Brennan was in the first season and appeared in several episodes. I knew she could sing or dance, because I saw At Long Last Love. Also early on, they had musical guests, Strawberry Alarm Clock, the Bee Gees, the Temptations. Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. And so as I'm watching these, when they had special guests on the show, they weren't promoting a film or a TV show, because it's not modern talk shows or variety shows. But I wondered who was appearing on Laugh-In and what they would have been promoting. Some of the early guests include Tim Conway, who had a show, I believe, on TV at the time. Kay Ballard, who had a TV show at the time. Connie Stevens, I believe. Sonny Bono, of course. But there was, and it took a few episodes. Robert Culp. I think NBC was pulling from their lineup to see who could help out and be a special guest. And it wasn't until maybe the fourth episode, and one of the regular players was Pamela Austin, who the year before, this is 1968, the year before had starred in a film called The Perils of Pauline. Yes, the film version of that. And then folks started to pop up like Peter Lawford, who in 1968 was in films like Skidoo. Ugh. You need several drinks to watch Skidoo. It's I own it, and it's wonderfully god-awful bad. Yeah, odd film about a major studio's attempt at counterculture directed by Otto Preminger. He was also in Salt and Pepper. That's the secret agent film with him, Peter Lawford and Sammy Davis Jr. But there's a twist. Peter Lawford is Pepper. Sammy Davis Jr. is Salt. Get it? That's episode four. Five. Episode six, Buddy Hackett shows up, so he could be promoting the Love Bug. Jerry Lewis shows up in a few cameos. That's the year he was in Don't Raise the Bridge, Lower the River. Godfrey Cambridge shows up. You could be Bye Bye Braverman or the biggest bundle of them all. Terry Thomas, who was in How Sweet It Is, as well as Don't Raise the Bridge, Lower the River, and It's Your Move. And there was a recurring bit with Dick Martin and Dan Rowan, the first several episodes, mentioning how John Wayne doesn't appear. Well, by the seventh episode, John Wayne does show up and does a little funny bit. And his little bit in this and in his cameos, because they would film individuals just saying things, whether it was Sakatumi or any other improvs that came to mind, and spread them out throughout the season of the show. All of this bit that John Wayne did on Laugh-In are far better than the two films he did in 1968, Hellfighters and The Green Berets. Green Berets, directed by John Wayne. Pat Morita shows up in an episode. Sammy Davis Jr., ninth episode, Salt and Pepper. I already mentioned that. James Garner, in the year before Support Your Local Gunfighter and after Hour of the Gun in films How Sweet It Is and The Pink Jungle. It's fun to watch these, and I'm enjoying them. I'm not burnt out on them. I've been able to spread them out as far as two or three episodes at a time and trying to get the family to sit down and watch them with me. So we'll see what happens with episode two. I know Emma is going to be interested when Lily Tomlin joins the cast. So, and I also forget that certain players could come and go, or certain players who you had your regular players like Artie Johnson, Judy Carn, Ruth Buzzi, Joanne Worley. Eileen Brennan came and went a little bit. Richard Dawson shows up for one, and I know he'll show up in some later episodes. Barbara Feldon. Guys, Barbara Feldon gets to be sexy on Laugh-In. I mean, and not that she wasn't on Get Smart, but she wasn't playing that type of character. It happens on Laugh-In, so thank you for that. Anyway, hopefully next week I'll have more information on Season 2 of Laugh-In, the complete series now available on Time Life Home Video. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Before you grab a pencil and find out what you've been watching, over at IU Cinema, streaming through April 28th, the 1923 silent film Our Hospitality. Saturday, of course, 7 o'clock, is the 1925 documentary Grass, A Nation's Battle for Life. Tuesday, April 20th, speaking of Fellini, at 7 o'clock, a special virtual event of Fellini's Amacord, one of his best, one of his all-time best. Don't miss that. Streaming Wednesday, April 21st through Wednesday, May 5th, the 1927 silent film The Kid Brother. And a special event on Tuesday, April 27th at 7 p.m., the 2020 documentary Mayor, which I also enjoyed. And then streaming Wednesday, April 28th through Wednesday, May 12th, 1925's The Gold Rush. So all of that is happening over at IU Cinema. Over at the Can-Can in Indy, they are going to be starting up their Can-Can Outdoors, starting on Wednesday at 8 p.m. with Mad Max Fury Road. On April 28th at 8 p.m., Persepolis. Wednesday, May 5th at 8 p.m., Do the Right Thing. Wednesday, May 12th, The Watermelon Woman. And Wednesday, May 19th at 8:30 p.m. Watermelon Woman's also at 8:30 p.m. Wednesday, May 19th at 8:30 p.m., David Cronenberg's The Fly. So yeah, all of that is opening over at Can Can Indie. Okay, we go to Facebook and the way they set things up and show post. We start with Bill, who writes the United States versus Billie Holiday. Sean writes Kong versus Godzilla, also rewatched Star Trek Nemesis. Ed writes Nomadland. Adrian writes Almost Famous. Kathleen writes Ken Burns' Ernest Hemingway, All 6 Hours. Joan writes Love, Gilda. Roxana writes Bram Stoker's Dracula, for real. It was on Netflix. My teenage 90s needed a good dose of nostalgia. And then Megan chimes in, Anthony Hopkins and Gary Oldman saved that movie. When I was in high school, I was part of a group that made a version of this in Spanish with puppets, for reals. Megan, I'd like to see that. Jeff writes, just watched An American Pickle last night and over the weekend Boss Level. I liked them both. Russ writes, Silver Linings Playbook. My wife had never seen it, and I haven't seen it since I saw it in the theater. Jennifer Lawrence and Bradley Cooper are wonderful in it. Don Hipschweiler writes, Saving Private Ryan. Rachel writes, The Hunchback of Notre Dame. Which version? There's so many. Sorry. Megan writes, Avengers Civil War. Lost count on how many times I've watched it. Wow. Kate writes, I Am Mother and Voices. Howell writes, Thunder Soul. Nancy writes, Thunder Force, The Laundromat, and Ted Lasso. Kathy writes, The Hours. Michael writes, Easy Money, Death Proof, Pulp Fiction, and Tina. So, Michael, you just watched Death Proof, not the entire, not along with Planet Terror, not the whole Grindhouse experience. Just double-checking. Sam writes, Sam Watermeyer, An American Werewolf in London, Aaron Brockovich, and Wing Commander. Ooh. Devin writes Thunder Force. Britt writes Last of the Mohicans, Shaft 2000, Thunder Force, Skyfall, and Spies in Disguise. Austin Glidden writes Chef. Don't forget, friends, look out for the Medium Cool podcast. As well as the Film Yap, as well as the Midwest Film Journal. Daniel writes The Pajama Game, Thunder Force, Promising Young Woman, The Stand-In, Bells Are Ringing, Around the World in 80 Days, Wrangler Anatomy of an Icon, and Almodovar's Bad Education. Robert Muggy writes, The Man Who Sold His Skin, Moonrise, Zappa, Throne of Blood, Raining in the Mountain, and Oliver Sacks' His Own Life. Thank you, Robert. Terry writes, The Chase, from 1946, Tomorrow is Another Day, and Dark City. Dustin writes, Dark Victory, Red River, Vertigo, Lawrence of Arabia, Julius Caesar, 1970, Being There, 1979, and my favorite year from 1982, Trip to Bountiful, 1985, the TV movie of Barnum, the TV movie of Miss Evers' Boys, Mulholland Drive, Maria Full of Grace, Doubt, the 2012 Jesus Christ Superstar Live Arena Tour, and Carol. All right, Dusty, Being There, my favorite year, and Trip to Bountiful. I know you put these in chronological. I wish that was a triple feature. I have shown all three of those to my daughter. She really dug Being There. She tolerated my favorite year to a certain degree, and she did like Trip to Bountiful. So glad you got to experience those as well. Those are three top ones. And finally, Joe writes, Ozark, completed the series, Saving Mr. Banks, Cross of Fire, The Lighthouse, Squanto, The Warrior's Tale, that's for TV's Frank, and Concrete Cowboy. And there you go, kind of a short list. I thank / blame Facebook because they're usually this long. I think the posts are usually longer. So we'll see what happens next week. So there you go. Friends, some words to live by.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Go see a good movie. You deserve it. There's plenty out there. Hope you're staying safe. Hope you're staying healthy. Hope you're staying sane. Hope you're being good to one another. And go watch a movie to distract. It's been a rough week in Indy, I know. And hopefully you got to watch some films, or you will watch some films that are new, or at least new to you, as well as falling back on old favorites. And we'll try this again next week. Take care, everybody. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Good afternoon, Fort Myers. Good afternoon, California. Good afternoon, Michigan.
I can't believe you let her watch Manos. Is she scarred for life?
Let's put it this way.
What parent are you?
When I wake her up, I vocalize the theme to wake her up to get her ready to school.
Oh, you're a terrible father.
Okay. We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live!